Hi, and welcome back to Dating Coach Zurich, your dating coach in Zurich and surroundings. I'm Sabrina, and thank you very much for listening in. Today, I have prepared a very, very interesting topic for you, and it's toxic masculinity. Is there such a thing as toxic masculinity, yes or no? What is perceived as toxic traits in a man? Is this even the truth? Are there toxic traits in men? And do I have to be a toxic man? Or is there any other possibility that I can get into a successful relationship with an amazing woman? So let's dive into it, shall we? So first of all, I will list some of the points where people say, okay, this is typically toxic in men. And then after that, I want to discuss, is this really a fair point, yes or no? So let's dive into it. And first of all, let's start with a real man must not show his feelings, must not feel any feelings except for anger. And if you have problems, then you need to solve them with violence. And you have to dominate women, your colleagues, and everyone around you. You have to be a dominant guy, otherwise you will fail. And if you dominate women, then of course it's the best for a guy to be super successful in his working life, in his career. And he has to be super fit. And best of all is if you have a huge house with a pool, 5 cars at least, and 50 bikini models with you in the pool. Otherwise, you're not a successful guy. Okay, you have to be competitive for the same. All women are interchangeable, so one woman is not enough. And if you ever face any issues, you have to solve them on your own. You must not ask anyone else to come and help you, because otherwise you're not a real man. Now, some of these points are fair, some of these are not. So for example, if you look at you must not feel any feelings, or you must not accept any feelings or show any feelings and emotions, then there is some truth to it. But the thing is, it's something that men are being taught from a very young age. If you think about kids hurting themselves, if it's a girl, then everyone will be feeling pity for the girl and they will say, oh, what can I do to heal your pain? And little boys will usually hear like, stop crying, you're a grown up, be a big boy, don't cry, crying is for girls, crying is for gays, crying is for whomever. So from a very young age, you actually learn that showing emotions, especially when it's emotions of helplessness, is bad for you. And this you will carry into your adulthood. Now, this is something where I feel very sorry for men, actually, because that also means that men usually don't have a huge support system. So when you as a guy come to a point where you are emotionally exhausted, or where you are depressed or feeling helpless, you usually don't have anyone to talk to. It's very, very rare that men actually have that best friend that they can discuss everything with, including emotions. Women do have that. Women have multiple friends, multiple family members, or are more driven to go to a psychologist if they seek help than men. And that leads to men more often committing suicide, because actually, if you're in the spiral of depression and helplessness and everything's dark and you cannot get out of it and you don't have anyone to talk to, then this might be the last resort. And this is actually very, very sad. And if you're someone who thinks that, oh, this sounds like me, I actually have those issues, then don't be afraid of searching help. There's sites like howareyou.ch or SciFinder. You can Google these, where you can actually get psychological help. And to me, if you ask me, for a man to admit that he has some issues and that he's being sad and helpless, it requires much more strength from a guy to admit that than from a woman. And it also requires much more strength for a guy to do this than to not show any feelings at all, because it means that you have to get out of your comfort zone. But believe me, once you do get out of your comfort zone, it will get better. So I hope that if you have these issues at the moment, you seek the help that you need so that you can focus on your future. Now, violence and dominance, another topic. So if you're a person, if you're a man who solves conflicts with violence, that, okay, might be toxic masculinity, but it might also be a learned pattern. And there's also women who solve conflicts with violence, but it's very few. So that point definitely, I would say, is a very toxic trait. But I think it also has to do a lot with how you were raised and how you were taught to deal with any emotions. So if this is also an issue for you, please also there, don't be ashamed of asking for help. Now, dominance. Let me come to this point. I mean, dominance per se, if you're working in a high-performance environment, you have to show some dominance here and there, of course. And also in the bedroom, if you have a partner who agrees to that, if you're two grown-up adults who have a mutual decision for one to be the dom and one to be the sub, hey, nobody judges you. That's absolutely fair. It just becomes an issue when you try to control each and every aspect of your partner's life. But to be fair, also women have that. Yeah, so there's people obsessed with their partners and they don't trust them. And therefore, they have to control everything. And this dominance and control in relationship, that usually doesn't come from dominance per se. It comes from insecurity. Because if I am insecure and my partner goes out, then of course I'm thinking, oh, they might cheat on me. It's a betrayal. I have to track them. I have to know where they are. I have to know how long they will stay there, with whom they are going there, etc. Or maybe you are someone who thinks that friendship between men and women is not possible, and therefore you don't allow it. But that has more to do with your insecurities than with anything else. And this is something that also women do. As soon as somebody is insecure, they're more prone on doing that. So definitely this is toxic, but it's not specific to males, I think. Okay. Now, a man has to have the lust for sex every day and with as many women he can find. That's definitely toxic because, I mean, no man ever, if he has a healthy sex drive, would want to have sex every day. In a relationship, usually it's not the case. And sometimes the woman has more desire than the man. Sometimes the man has more desire than the woman if it's a heterosexual relationship. Of course, there are other relationships, but I'm talking hetero here in this example, okay? Now, look, the thing is, these imaginations and pictures come into place when you have those examples, for example, from Andrew Tate or even Hugh Hefner. Call it what you want. Now, the thing is, does it make you a real man if you sleep around and if you have 50 bikini models in a pool with you? I would say no, because then sex is a commodity for you. And if it's a commodity, then where's the difference of getting 50 bikini models into your pool or paying 50 hookers? Yeah, there's a budget for everyone. So if you don't have millions on your account, you can still go to the brothel around the corner. But that doesn't have anything to do with love. Now, if you seek something like that, I would say you're wrongly directed to my podcast, because my specialization is to help people find the best in themselves so that they can find the best partner for them. Yeah. Now, if love is not a commodity, then of course a real man doesn't have 50 girls around him, because these guys who have the 50 cars in their driveway and a huge house and a pool or a yacht and 50 women around them, they paid for them. They, of course, paid for them. The women want the money in exchange for their beauty, for what's between their legs. And if both of them agree, then it's a fair deal. I'm not judging that. I'm just telling you that you don't have to be like that to find true love, because you won't find true love through that. Look at all these men. None of them is in a serious, loving, committed relationship. And most of them actually seem very angry, very desperate, very unsatisfied with their lives. Even though they tell everyone around them they have the best life that they're leading, I think they're not. I think that they are very, very lonely. And they compensate that by showing off these things. So please don't think that this is normal. Yeah, this has as much to do with relationships as porn has to do with real sex between two people who are madly in love with each other. It's absolutely not the same. And why do so many men propagate that? And who actually listens to that? Now, let me tell you one thing, and I hope I don't come through as a non-feminist, because that's not what I am. But the problem nowadays is relationships break up so easily nowadays. We have so many divorcees nowadays. These are usually people with kids. Now, in most cases, over 95%, I would assume, the kids are left with the mother. So the mother raises them, and the father is very rarely in the picture anymore. Okay, if it comes, usually it comes down to maybe every other weekend that they have their kids, even if so. And sometimes it's even not because the men want it, it's sometimes because women block the contact, which is not healthy. So if you're a woman in that situation, think about it. If you have personal animosities with your ex-partner, then that's fair. But if he was a good dad towards your children, don't compromise that for your kids, because what will happen to things? For girls, for example, if the father is not in the picture, they will be very, very insecure with their attachment type in the future, in many, many cases. And with boys, they don't have a leading example of a good man. So where do they find a leading example? And nowadays, unfortunately, with TikTok and YouTube and all this kind of stuff, there's too many people propagating a picture that's absolutely not healthy. But then you have little boys that are absolutely the target group, because they're so insecure. They're now making their first attempts on dating, and they see that they fail. They don't know how to do it. And then you have those people teaching them that. And I think that's a very, very toxic thing. Yeah. So what is important is, of course, that children have both parents as an example, right? And I think that leads to why we are in the point where we are now. Because see, the thing is, in relationships, it's usually not about dominating the other person, unless it's in the bedroom and you agree. It's having a mutual consensus and a relationship on eye level, where both people are partners. You want to have a partner, you don't want to have a subordinate. If you do that, then this is toxic, but that's definitely toxic for both men and women. Okay, so to find something like that and to find true love, what do you have to do? Because maybe you're someone who thinks like, okay, I'm a nice guy, but the toxic guys out there, they get all the women. Do I have to become one of those? And I will tell you, well, if you want to find an insecure partner with whom you will have a very toxic relationship in the end, because you will just have arguments and whatever, then yes, maybe. But if you want to find a partner to have a very grown-up relationship, a very secure relationship, then no. What you have to do is to build your own character, to work on yourself, to ask yourself, what can I do better to improve myself, my character, my intelligence? And then, of course, competitiveness comes in place. I don't think competitiveness is an issue. I don't think that this is toxic, because competitiveness is something that moves you forward. It's just when you obsess over it, then it's unhealthy. That definitely is. But you should really find things where you can improve yourself. Maybe you think to yourself, I don't find a woman because I'm bald. I cannot find a woman because I'm not fit enough. I can't find a woman because I have a child from a previous relationship. I can't find a woman because I'm below 180, whatever it might be. Usually we're searching for external factors and make it the cause of our misery. But in most cases, it's not the case. It's what it does to you. Because if you have these insecurities, they will usually show. I have many, many people in my coaching where I see when they, for example, text with new flirt partners, that they instantly start making fun about themselves. Like, oh, I don't have a six pack, I have a one pack, for example. Where you subconsciously show your partner that you're below them and that you are someone of a very insecure state, and that actually drives people away. Now, if you think to yourself, okay, but what do I have to do instead? So first of all, build up your personality, build up your self-confidence. How do you do that? Well, I can help you with that, for example. But if you want to have like one little tip that I can give you for free, then it would be think about how do you feel about yourself? Write down everything you like and then write down things where you might have insecurities. And now go through them. Like, for example, if you're being bald, is that, for example, something where you would say this is the reason, the number one and only reason why you're not in a relationship? Then I would say, I'm very sorry, but have you ever heard of Jason Statham or Bruce Willis? I mean, those guys are sex symbols and none of them has hair on their head, right? So it's not about necessarily do you have hair on your head or not, because there are some women who fancy men with a bald head, some women who fancy guys with dark hair, then some like blonde hair, some like long hair or short hair or whatever. And this is something, or some even are indifferent. Yeah, for example, me, I couldn't care less. And this is something where you then have to fact check each and everything. And then the things you like, for example, I like to go to the gym. I'm very fit. Then if you like these things, if it gives you confidence, do more of it. Just surround yourself with people who like to do the same things as you and see where it takes you. Yeah, this might be one thing. Or if you're not that educated in emotional intelligence yet, because you have been one of those classic examples who have been told not to show any emotions ever, then maybe you can read some books. You can read books about love languages. You can read books about attachment types, books about how to gain more confidence, etc. That might be something. Okay. And then be assured there is someone for everybody. And you have to define your goal. You have to tell yourself, what is the woman that I want to meet? And you have to search for specifically that woman and not get distracted with women who are not being the right choice for you. Because if you meet 100 women, frankly, and none of them stay with you and all of them reject you, then the common denominator is actually you. And then you have to ask yourself, what am I actually doing on dates? And who am I actually dating? Because sometimes it's not only what we ourselves are doing, but also whom we choose. So maybe write down the past 4 or 5 women that you have dated and list everything that you noticed about them. From their outer appearance, from their style, from what they have said, from how secure or insecure you perceived them, or things that they have said to you that might have triggered something. And see what is the common denominator, so that the next time when you meet a woman and she shows this certain type of behavior, you let her go. Because there's a lot of freedom in letting the wrong people go to get the right people into your life. And if you want to know on how to do it even in more detail, then on my homepage datingcoachzurich.ch, you can actually book a 20-minute slot with me and we can get to know each other and I can find out how I can help you. So then I would say thank you for now and have a good evening. Bye-bye.